from Ag Central on the road. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis. Let's take a look at what's going on inside agriculture. We're on the road in Williston, North Dakota. Well, we're going to travel throughout the area, and we're going to visit Dickinson as well as Spearfish, also Pierce, South Dakota, Aberdeen, and hopefully Brookings. Here's what's going on inside agriculture. President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping have reached a deal in principle to allow U.S. beef into China for the first time since a 2003 U.S. bovine spongiform encephalopathy. And that was an outbreak. But an American Farm Bureau Federation official is viewing the development with caution. AFBF trade advisor Dave Salmonson says it would not be the first time China has said it's lifting the ban on U.S. beef, but failed to follow through.
Similar announcement, China announced back in the fall of 2016 that they were willing to open, but the steps necessary to take that happen, the proper certificates and such, have never been followed through on.
Salmonson hopes the new plans, as signed, China's regulatory red tape can now be resolved. The deal is part of China's concessions at last week's Trump Xi summit, including allowing more U.S. access to financial sector investments. And the summit produced more.
The other thing that came out of the summit was a commitment to do a 100-day plan on trade, meaning in 100 days each side is supposed to come up with ideas they can talk about further of how to address the trade issues between the two countries, just to lower barriers and probably also address some of the issues related to the trade deficit. So, of course, agriculture should play a good role in that.
Salmonson says a new Trump executive order for a country-by-country review of trade dumping and excess subsidies could also feed into the U.S.-China plan. The American Farm Bureau Federation official says both nations have issues they want to deal with, giving both opportunities for expanding bilateral trade in agriculture as well as other areas. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about hundreds of websites on the internet aimed at providing accurate information about today's agriculture practices in the United States. Who are we going to talk with? Brad Greenway, USFRA chairman. That's all coming your way, so we invite you to stick around. That's all coming up next on Inside Agriculture. Again, we're on the road in Williston, North Dakota. We'll be back with that next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. We're on the road, and we're in Williston, North Dakota on this Tuesday morning. Well, we want to thank all our listeners on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, and Ag News 890, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, there are hundreds of websites on the internet aimed at providing accurate information about today's agriculture practices in the U.S. Now, U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance Chairman Brad. Well, we want to thank all our listeners on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, and Ag News 890, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, there are hundreds of websites on the internet aimed at providing accurate information about today's agriculture practices in the U.S. Now, U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance Chairman Brad Greenway says his group strives to cut through the clutter and give consumers one website to rely on. Jody Heemstra has more in this report.
From cattle, hogs, and sheep to corn, soybeans, and wheat to the farmers and ranchers who raise them, each has an organization dedicated to doing what's best for them. Mount Vernon, South Dakota farmer Brad Greenway serves as the chairman of U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance this year. He says their membership consists of more than 100 farmer and rancher-led organizations and agricultural partners representing virtually all aspects of agriculture. Greenway says social media is one tool they use frequently to talk to consumers.
As I get more gray hair, I got to give so much credit to my wife, Peggy. I mean, she does the Facebook and the Twitter. I'm starting to get into that, but a picture's worth 1,000 words. So if you can show a picture of what you're doing in your barn or how you're doing something on your crop, that really goes a long ways and it spurs people's interest. So social media going forward, it has been a great player. It's going to be a big player going forward, and so we need to jump onto that, and that's why this next generation, they're going to pick up on it so much faster than I ever did. I'll have to say I did it faster than my dad, and it's going to continue to get better. So social media is the new platform and how we can get our message out in a hurry.
A lot of information available on the internet, but a lot of that misinformation or not complete information. Researching, trying to find the facts is maybe something we as Americans are getting a little lackadaisical about. Talk about some of the ways and struggles with the internet and that type of thing, and even some social media out there that is on the anti-ag side. How do you combat that?
Well, and that's a very good point. I mean, so you can get a lot of good points out there, but you can also find the bad stuff too. And so we have to do a better job. And U.S. Farm and Ranch Alliance, the program I'm part of now, they need a one-stop shop. So if people have questions, they can go to a place and find information with this. Livestock or crops, and somehow I feel as an ag sector, we need to do more of that. Let's get some things grouped together because people truly are interested in food in that. And so we know there's for every good point out there, there's probably two or three bad ones. So we just need to make sure we keep emphasizing the good things that we're doing. And eventually, I think they truly do. They truly trust farmers. They trust what we do every day. We've changed our farms. We've gotten larger, but we've done it in the right way. We're responsible and we're continuing to improve every day in what we do. And so we just got to continue pounding the good messages we're doing every day in agriculture.
We hear a lot out there about big farms and corporate farms, and anymore isn't the structure. Those bigger farms are family farms because they're bringing generations together, and it's more of a tax category than it is a corporate business that doesn't care.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And there's no doubt about it. Farmers have changed. The structure that we put our farms together, the size of our farms. I think back, and we used to milk cows and dad, and so we had chickens and pigs and cows, and everybody had a little bit of something. And no doubt about it, we've more specialized, we've expanded. And that's, you know, we talk about sustainability. I mean, sustainability in the air and the water and all that stuff. But sustainability is also being able to keep a farm viable. And so we've expanded. And there's still 96 or 98% of the farms are family owned. And we've changed the structure and we've changed the size of them. But still there's a face, there's a family behind that. And I would hope consumers would realize that and, you know, still appreciate that we have the safest food supply in the world.
Greenway says the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance strives to give consumers one website to turn to for all of the answers about how today's food is grown and raised. That website is www.fooddialogues.com. Reporting in South Dakota, I'm Jody Heemstra.
We'll be back with more of what's going on inside agriculture right after this. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Definitely a Tuesday morning. We're in Williston, North Dakota. We're going to be on the road today, headed to, well, from Williston, we're going to go to Dickinson, Spearfish, South Dakota. And then tomorrow looks like we're headed to Pierre, Aberdeen, and then again, Brookings. That's all coming up as we travel on inside agriculture. Well, when we talk about what's going on out there, One Angus Farm have changed how customers view their product. Bob Severa has more in this report.
Over the past few decades, the Schieffelbeins, a Minnesota Angus family, has changed the way their customers view their calf crop. Tim Schieffelbein talks about those customers.
They went from just selling calves at the barn and forgetting about it to the day they can't wait when they're harvested. In fact, most of my calls come right before they know their cattle are going to harvest to say, how did they do? How did they do? How did they do? They want to find out. They want to know what they're producing. They're out in Timbuktu area not ever knowing how their cattle perform, and now they have a chance to, and they really like that. And then we work together how to make things better.
The You Buy, We Bid customer buyback program has a twofold goal.
And by us bidding on those calves and buying quite a few of them, where we'll buy about 25,000 a year, it helps increase their value where they can see it right in front of them, that by buying that bull, they got more money for their calves. And it's real easy for them to see. And then on top of that, we track the cattle through, we capture the data, and then we know how to even make the cattle better.
The breeder admits it's a risk, but it's one his family is willing to take.
You know that you're going to get a report card back on those cattle, and it better be good, because either we're buying them and it affects us directly, or another feedlot that I work with is buying them, and they're going to know how well they do. And if they do good, they're going to go back and buy them. If they don't do well, it makes your own bottom line go down or their bottom line. So we put a lot of emphasis on creating cattle better.
They watch the market, then employ technology and tools to be sure they're producing the desired genetics.
We've had to implement the genomic testing to make your cattle better. We've had to implement tons of embryo transfer work by cutting out the bottom quarter of the herd and replacing that with your top four or five cows and embryo transferring them. And all of that goes into making your cattle better, so the whole circle works.
Schiefelbein also says the program takes extra work and capital, but the end rewards are worth it. I'm Bob Cervera.
From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. This morning, we're in Williston, North Dakota. We're going to hit the road today, going to hit Dickinson as well as Spearfish, South Dakota. So be listening as we broadcast throughout the day, and we'll try to keep you updated to what's going on out there as far as agriculture. Now, rural America has been seen a steep increase in opioid addiction. Now, Wisconsin is no different. Michael Clements has more in this report.
Lewandowski explains how the Wisconsin Farmers Union is addressing the right of all Americans to have access to affordable, quality health care, especially in the case of addiction treatment.
Former Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack addressed the issue of opioid addiction when he served in the Obama administration and its lasting and harmful effect on rural communities. Wisconsin farmers, ranchers, and others who live in rural areas and towns and communities are affected by this crisis, and they're well aware of the suffering of those with opioid addiction and the difficulties associated with seeking treatment.
Lewandowski says big pharmaceutical companies that seek to profit off the addiction epidemic through unfair competition and pricing structures should be held accountable for their actions.
Currently, the Wisconsin Attorney General is suing the corporation behind the biggest opioid addiction treatment for unfair competition and pricing structures. Tax dollars right now are too valuable, and we can't afford to be undercut by drug makers when there are other urgent funding needs for our rural communities. Our rural and agricultural communities have already taken their budget cuts in the last farm bill, and we can't afford to lose access to affordable quality health care in those communities.
As Congress looks towards its funding priorities in the months ahead, Lewandowski says Wisconsin Farmers Union will continue advocating for policies that improve the quality of life for rural Americans. Michael Clements reporting.
Hog prices are expected to increase this year, even as pork production is expected to increase by 3%. That according to a Purdue University agriculture economist. Chris Hurt writes the stronger demand will support prices because of a growing U.S. economy and by a robust 8% growth in exports, as projected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Hertz says new packer capacity is also expected to contribute to stronger bids for hogs. Also, feed costs will be the lowest in a decade, and total production costs were expected to be at a decade low. Based on USDA numbers, Hertz says pork supplies are expected to rise by 5% in April and May, and then drop to a 4% increase for June through August. There it is. That's a look at what's going on inside agriculture. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road, I'm Terry Loomis.